The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program.
Hi, I'm Candace Michelle, and welcome to another edition of Our Community. Well, it's that time of year again. The days are getting shorter, football season is underway, and we've had our first rainfall of the season. You know, I'm not sure where this year has gone. I think I say that every year, but it does feel like each year goes a little faster. At any rate, incredible as it may seem, the holiday season is just around the corner. One of the most outstanding yearly events that we have here is the annual light show in Azalea Park, Nature's Coastal Holiday Festival of Lights. My guest today is Leslie Wilkinson, a board member for the organization, and we're going to talk about this year's event. Welcome to the show, Leslie.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be here to celebrate the season.
Yahoo! So before we get into all that, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? You know, where were you born? Where'd you grow up? You know, what kind of work did you do?
Well, I'm actually a newbie here to the Brookings area. My husband and I had traveled up and down the coast looking for a place to retire in, and we moved here in July of 2017.
From where?
From the Central Valley, Chico, Redding area.
Okay. Well, okay, then you kind of got out in time then.
Yes. We were out in time. That wasn't the case with some of our friends. It was a tough time over there.
I bet.
But we're glad to be gone. We're glad to be out of the heat.
Mm-hmm.
We're glad to be here where water exists. That's a big important factor.
Isn't that amazing?
It's the new gold.
It's amazing to me.
And we love this area. Yeah. And that was why we wanted to move this direction, was into Brookings. And I think probably as a funny little note, I had not seen the light show at all. We had these Christmas decorations, large Christmas decorations, and being from California and suburbia, you know, everybody has Christmas on their front lawn. And we didn't really want to sell them in a yard sale because we knew we wouldn't get anything for them.
Right.
So we donated to Nature's Coastal Holiday, and the next thing I knew, we were on the board, and I hadn't even seen the light festival.
Oh, Leslie, that's funny. But that is the way it happens here in town.
I've seen that.
Yeah,
I'm getting that hint.
if you just say, oh, that's interesting, suddenly you're on the board.
Well, yeah. But that's okay. That's okay, because
is.
Where I'm from, that's not how it rolls.
That's right.
So there's really a good feeling of community here, and that's kind of what Nature's Coastal Holiday is all about. You know, there's a small board that exists, and we're made up with there's a lot of diversification on the board. I have to tell you that I don't think they were prepared for me. I am.
Why?
Well, because I'm an ex-bill collector, bounty hunter, and auto repossessor.
Okay, that is hugely interesting to me. Hugely. Really?
Yes. I did a little bit of time in media and advertising, so I had some background there, and I think that shows here with what I do at the board.
What was the most interesting thing about doing that kind of work?
Well, I was actually born in the business.
What do you mean?
Well, that was what my parents had.
Oh,
That okay. was their business, and so the day I turned 16... I was allowed to get my driver's license so I could go out and repossess a car that night with my dad.
I love that.
So that was my sweet 16 birthday party.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Yeah. It was an interesting upbringing.
Yes.
I certainly have a different view of life.
Of course. Yeah.
But it serves me well, because I'm a survivor, and I'm a plugger down the rotor, and I'm get in and get dirty and get things done.
Yeah, because you know how. That was the thing. You actually had to accomplish something.
Yeah, it's survival out there on the streets.
Yeah.
It's definitely survival.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
Amazing.
So I'm probably the odd duck out on the board.
But you know, if you ask people what they've done in their lives, what I find amazing about this community is that it's so diverse, people have done things, everything from, you know, being a rocket scientist, literally, to debt collecting and, you know, everything in between. It's amazing to me.
And it seems to be acceptable here.
Yes, it is.
Which was nice because I was a little concerned that maybe that wasn't going to be the
no.
thing. Now I'm an artist, so that's what I do.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
What kind of art?
I do alternative process photography, which is rather than printing on paper, I use a transparency film, print my print on the transparency film, and then use a solution to take it off of the transparency film on whatever substrate. And right now I'm working on discarded metal and
wow.
wood.
Wow.
So,
do you have any stuff anywhere around town that people
no,
can see?
No, I haven't got anything into town around town because I'm a little busy with Nature's Coastal Holiday.
I don't understand what you mean by that.
Well, it's just not a 2 or 3 month deal.
Well, let's talk about that because that of course is, if you're not involved with it, that of course is the impression that it kind of starts when everybody starts putting the lights up. So that's not the case.
No, actually, our board meets January through July. We take August off, so some of us can have a vacation. And then we meet September and October. So we're meeting once a month during those months. But there's a lot of behind-the-scenes work that goes on, and that's everything from advertising and promotion to sponsorship to new displays, repairing old displays. So it's really a big deal. It's just not show up in the park and put the lights up.
And this has been going on. I went and looked at your website last night, and it says it's been going on for like 22 years or something.
Yes, and it's kind of an interesting story, and forgive me if I don't get all of the names of the players correctly, because these are people that I don't know and were way before my time. But it started with a group of individuals that went over to Shore Acres and saw that display in 1997. And they solicited the city council in July of that year and said, what do you think about doing this in the park? And there was a little hum and haw, but in September, the city council said, yeah, let's do it. And so then there was this mad scurry now let's do it. It's September.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It must officially be fall. Pumpkin chai is out.
Yes.
So I guess that's the benchmark around here is the pumpkin chai and pumpkin spice at Dutch Brothers. So there was a scurry for the lights, and there was also a scurry for sculptures. And a lot of the sculptures came from the high school. They had a really active welding class at that time,
wow.
And I understand that's kicked back up now. And there were a lot of sculptures, the octopus, some of the elk, lots of sculptures that we see that are unique to our display came from the high school and came from some of the city employees. So there's a real grassroots
mm-hmm.
effort right there.
Mm-hmm.
And they started with a mere 7,000. I think they had 20,000 lights and had 7,000 people that first year.
A mere 20,000 lights.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that is a mirror anymore.
Yeah, the last few years have just been... Well, we'll talk about that. But so it got started.
It got started. And of course, with everything that's new, the momentum was pretty good. The high school class, they did posters. I understand lots of nonprofit got involved. There was baking of the cookies, et cetera. So it was a real grassroots kind of block party affair.
Right. Which really is the way things happen here in this town.
Yeah. So that's how it started. And it chugged along for about 10 to 12 years mm-hmm. that way. And unfortunately, as with everything, those individuals that started it, there was illness, there was death, there yep. was, you know, moving on to other things.
Yep.
And there was then the nonprofit board begins to surface. And mm-hmm. that happened with the community members. So there was Rotary and Lions Club and some community leaders from these different organizations that got on the board. And that chugged along for a while quite nicely.
Mm-hmm.
New sculptures, lots more lights. Unfortunately, as with everything, there was a little vandalism that started getting sprinkled in there.
Mm.
The board was responsible for putting the surveillance equipment in the park, getting that going through the city.
Yeah.
And that's one of our mission statements, is to help support the Azalea Park. That is our mission statement.
That's great.
So then what occurred, as with everything, there was a little bit of, you know, things weren't getting done. Lights weren't happening the way they were supposed to be happening. The structures were in disrepair. So there was this kind of area about 2013, 2014, and the show was kind of struggling. And that's when the current board starts to amp up. And Dorling and Claus, who I'm sure you have met, got involved. And I have no idea how many, and I'm not saying hundreds, I'm saying thousands of hours those two people spent in refurbishing.
Wow.
And if you'll notice, there's a big switch now. They're all, everything's LED.
Yes.
That's there.
Exactly.
So that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And the last couple of years, we've actually seen a profit.
Wow.
You know, we're out of the hole.
That's great.
We're not struggling, you know, wondering if there's going to be 5 cents left.
Right.
And in fact, this last year, one of the things that we did is the lower parking lot there by the Capella behind the band shell, that big dirt parking lot that's
mud.
Dark. Yeah, that's mud in the winter. And I understand during the music festival when the Eagles tribute band played, it looked like pickup sticks with the cars. Yeah, I understand
lovely.
That wasn't good.
Yeah,
but it's this dark hole.
Yeah, exactly.
It's this dark hole.
No
and
lights.
It's no lights. Yeah, so we donated from our proceeds, $13,000 to the city to get some lighting in that lower park, as well as up at St. Timothy's at that parking lot.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So hopefully the city is telling us that's on board for installation by the time we open up on November 23rd.
That's really important for a number of reasons. I remember last year as I was backing up in the parking lot, wasn't really sure what was behind me, even though I've got a little camera in my car that, you know, shoots out the back. It was so dark, I couldn't see.
Well, we are going to encourage those that feel up to it to park in that lower lot this year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that we need to have Grandma with her walker in that lower lot.
Right.
But it would be great to see some additional cars in that lot.
Yep. No, absolutely.
Especially after last year, because there were 25,000 people through that last year.
That's amazing.
And we're,
that is amazing.
We're aiming for more this year.
So I've definitely noticed over like the last, for sure, 2 years, maybe three, that it has ramped up significantly each year.
Mm-hmm.
The first year that I noticed it was like, wow, that was amazing. That was amazing. I mean, it's usually pretty spectacular, but it was amazing. And then the next year it was like even more amazing. And somebody said that you're going to have 1 million lights this year?
Yes, we let Claus order more lights. I'm not positive whether. I'll let you know later on whether that was a good idea or not. And I'll let you know if it was a good idea, because it's going to depend upon how many people show up on November 3rd to help us string the lights.
Right.
We started a campaign called String the Joy early on this year, and it was the idea of to get some formal commitments from different organizations, civic, church, et cetera, to try to get some formal commitments about, yep, we're going to get 10 people out there, yep, we're going to get 8 people out there to help you string the lights the first weekend in November, that first Saturday. And we didn't really get the response we were expecting. We were a little disheartened about that. And I understand that. It's not Christmas time when I'm asking you to show up and show up in June for November. And I understand that. But we all have a day planner.
Yes, exactly.
But we all have a day planner.
No,
we all have a calendar. And it's not going to hurt you to pencil this in.
It's true.
So we were a little disheartened. But we let Claus order the lights anyway.
Okay.
So we'll find out on November 3rd. Now, for those that don't know, it's always the first Saturday of November. It's always at 9 o'clock in the morning, and we ask you to stay until 1. And you do not have to be a rocket scientist, an expert stringer. There aren't a lot of rules. First rule is no, you're not climbing the trees to put the lights up. If you can't reach them easily, the lights don't go on that high tree.
That sounds really good to me.
And secondly, you don't string from tree to tree or bush to bush because the deer need to go between those bushes.
Oh.
So those are our only two rules, and I don't think they're that bad.
No. They sound pretty easy.
They're kind of tiny little rules,
yeah.
And you don't have to be an expert stringer either because nobody is measuring inch per, you know, there's no ruler inch between each of the lights. We're kind of a free-for-all community effort here.
Because we're kind of a free-for-all community. So
So it's all about self-expression, and this is not the pink area, and this is not the blue area, and this is not the red area.
That's perfect.
It just flows. And that's what the board is all about, too. We're just the spearhead. We're the little organizers, but this is a community event. It's not the Leslie show. It's not the Claw show. It's not the other board member's show. It's not Diane or Tim. It's not their show.
Right.
It's the community show.
Right.
So you all get what you all put in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important for the community to know.
Oh, I do too.
And we're going to do it, rain or shine. Now, the only caveat is that, you know, it's 80-mile-an-hour winds, and it's raining an inch an hour, we don't expect you to be there. and
you know, you say that and laugh, and yet I've been in exactly that kind of a storm here. So
yeah, so it's possible.
Yeah.
If that happens, then we default to the next Saturday, the following Saturday. But you will know based on our Facebook postings what's going on. If it looks like it's not going to be a good day, then 24 hours before, we will have posted it on our Facebook, which is Nature's Coastal Holiday, and you can find out whether it's a go or not. Well, actually, if it's not a go. If it's not a go, I'm posting.
Yeah.
If it's a go, then you just be there.
Yeah. So a million lights, that's a big increase from last year.
Yes.
I mean, I'm right, right?
Yeah.
Because wasn't it 500,000 last year?
Yeah. So
okay,
part of that's
double.
Happened.
Bull.
Yeah. So part of that's happened because we let Claus order more lights.
Yes.
But
Claus.
Yes, yes. But we also have a couple of little things that are in the works. I don't know if I should say little. One of them is a 20-foot tall Christmas tree display.
Okay, that doesn't sound little to me.
No, no, no. And it will
20
be
20 foot?
Yeah, it will
wow.
be sinking. So there'll be light strings from the top to mm-hmm. the bottom in the shape of a Christmas tree, and they will be sinking to music.
Oh, that's going to be beautiful.
So it'll be much like the arches.
Uh-huh.
Much
Which
like,
I love.
Yeah, oh, much like the arches.
Delightful.
And then,
where's the tree going to
Right in the band shell area.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think that they're still trying to work out some of the specifics.
All right.
So that's where that will be. Mm-hmm. And then we're working on an 18-foot-long fishing boat. believe it or not, there's been all the
amazing.
Whales, the octopus, the mermaid, and all of this other stuff, but there's no fishing boat.
Hmm.
So I had the bright idea we needed a fishing boat this year.
I think that's great.
So, in fact, they're working on putting those lights on the boat as we speak today.
Okay.
There is a carousel display, not a rideable carousel, but a mm-hmm. carousel display for the kids to enjoy, and it's a fairly large piece.
Wow.
We have more skaters in the pond.
Great.
Gosh, I'm trying to think of everything else that's showing up. Oh, Peanuts will be there this year.
Aww.
Peanuts and Snoopy. We'll have a display there. And there'll be some other small stuff that you'll be able to see. And a lot of stuff has gotten some rewiring. All the lit nutcrackers
mm-hmm.
have all got rewiring, and so does the Santa toy train this year. So just to mention a few of the rewiring.
It's going to be great. So when people are decorating, there's kind of two different things, right? You're decorating bushes and then there's displays.
Okay, so we don't ask the public to help us with the displays. We mm-hmm. do have a volunteer base that we have used, plus the city has a little coercion where they're... they're asking their employees to donate a little bit of time here and there to help us. So That is handled. What okay, we're great. Asking the public to do is to get out and get those lights strung.
So when you're stringing lights in the daylight, how do you know what they're going to look like?
Oh, well,
you
don't.
Just have to imagine it.
You don't. And that's the beauty of it.
Okay.
You don't. That's the free form. You know, this is all about abstract thinking here. So what will happen is, obviously, we turn on the lights periodically, see where we're at, see what's working. If we don't have a light string that's working, it has to be replaced.
Right.
We're pretty good about having, you know, the cords are out there the day that you're stringing. You plug it in to see if it's a live cord, and then you can go ahead and put them in the bushes.
Right.
So we don't necessarily know. And there's a little bit of fibbiting that we're doing in the evening.
To make sure that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not so much to make sure that the lights look pretty per se,
yeah.
Is that there are enough lights where they're supposed to be
right,
lights.
And that they're all lit and something hasn't happened in
yeah.
the, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So I'm thinking if you get a lot of people out there, you might be able to get a million lights up in one Saturday.
I think if we can get 100 people to show up, it will be a done deal.
Really? In yeah. one Saturday?
Yeah. Yeah, you'd be surprised. Last year, we didn't get the group that we needed, and mm-hmm. I think it's because it was pretty cold out
mm-hmm.
there, I will tell you that.
Yeah.
So that put us back. And unfortunately, I'd like to tell you that we are all young on the board.
You're probably the same age the rest of us are.
Yeah, it's going to be a lie. And so older bodies move a lot slower.
Yeah.
And so I can tell you, for example, my husband was out there stringing during the week, and so were some other people. So
mm-hmm.
we want to try to avoid that if
mm-hmm.
we can this
mm-hmm.
year. No, we don't want, we just want to, it needs to be avoided.
Yes, yeah. So it would seem to me that, you know, if you could get 10 organizations that were willing to volunteer 10 people, you've got 100.
Well,
right,
and that's
there.
Why we were so depressed that String the Joy didn't quite click.
Yeah, I really do think it had something to do with trying to do it in June or July or whatever.
Well,
I mean, you look at today's weather, it's sunny and bright and beautiful, and seriously, Christmas is about the farthest thing from my mind right now. You know, I mean, obviously we're doing the interview, so it's not, but you know, it's like,
well, it was a lesson learned, and I'm not faulting anybody for not responding to it. We did get some response from some individuals, and that was great, but just not what we expected.
Right.
But that's okay. They can all make it up to me now.
I love that.
They can all show up on November 3rd at 9 o'clock and meet at the Kidstown parking lot, jazzed up and ready to rock and roll.
I love that. And I, you know, I would think that we've got a lot of different groups in this town, you know, Rotary and the Lions and Seroptimus, as well as all of the churches and a whole lot of the Butterfly People and Azalea Park Foundation.
They're on board. We've already talked to them. They are a group that did respond.
Excellent.
Yeah. And
excellent.
Just to let you know, you don't necessarily have to leave the kids home either.
Mm-hmm.
We have one young lady, and I don't know her name. Her and her daughter have shown up several years to put lights up, and they have a great time.
No, I would think that kids would really enjoy doing that.
Yeah, and it's okay if the family dog needs to come along as he's well-behaved. And he has a leash.
Exactly.
And you pick up after him.
It's preferable that they're on leash, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, well, that's going to be a requirement.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that'll be fine. And then we put them down, just to let everybody know, we take them down the first Saturday in January.
Okay.
Because we're going to close on December 28th this year. We tried the 31st last year, and it just didn't make a difference. So,
really?
Yeah, we didn't have a lot of people through on that 31st New Year's Eve thing.
Okay.
And it,
right.
So we think the 28th is fine.
And I know that my experience, I have my daughter and my grandson come down every winter, and, you know, they love that light festival. It's just, it's amazing. He's going to be, I think he's 8 and a half now. So he's been going ever since he was a baby and loves it. But the problem was that sometimes they would they wouldn't get here until like 2 days before Christmas. And then the light show would go away at Christmas Eve. And it was like,
Well, the board understood that, and that's why it works. It will always be open until after Christmas.
Great.
And so having said that, that means that those individuals that show up to host mm-hmm. on Christmas Eve and Christmas night, mm-hmm. they really need an extra round of applause
yes.
because that's really taking it to the
right.
to the wire right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's their holiday. And I will have to tell you, as a little side note, to tell you how interesting this light show is and how much it means to the community and why you need to get out there and string those lights. I met a gentleman who moved here last November, and he had lost his wife. This was his first Christmas without his wife. And not only had that happened, but when he moved here, he moved from clear across the United States.
Oh, my God.
He left his grandkids and his kids and said, you know, I just don't want to be there anymore where all those memories are, and I'm going to start a new life.
Right.
Well, he found himself, obviously. It sounded like a good plan until Christmas hit.
Yeah.
And so Christmas Day, he was feeling a little under the weather about things and had heard about the light show, and he went that night.
Oh.
And it made a big difference in his life that day.
Yeah. Well, and it not only allows you to see something beautiful and uplifting and all of that, but you know it's a community effort. So it's an opportunity to start to feel like you're part of a community again, which can be hugely impactful for somebody who's just lost their spouse.
Well, and he felt it so much. And was so happy to be there and so impressed with what was going on. He came that first Saturday in January and took down the lights with us.
Oh, that's wonderful. So maybe he'll be there to put them up.
I'm not going to mention his name. I don't want to embarrass him, but he knows who he is.
Exactly.
Yes, he knows who he is. So I'm sure he will be there.
And we're expecting you to show up, whoever you are.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. I'm sure he'll be there. So
tell me about some of the things that go on in an evening. So I've seen that maybe Santa and Mrs. Claus may show up, and there may be some carolers and...
Well,
what are some of the different things?
Okay, so Santa's going to be there. And by the way, you folks have the best Santa and Mrs. Claus I've ever seen in my entire life.
I love it.
As a child, mm-hmm. that would have been like the poster clause
yeah,
for me.
That's right.
That gentleman who volunteers his time is phenomenal, and mm-hmm. so is his wife.
And obviously very patient.
Yeah, very patient. But they know how to move those kids through the gazebo.
Which is great.
Yeah, which is good. So everybody gets a turn. Santa and Mrs. Claus will be there on the 14th and the 15th.
Okay.
And they will return on the 23rd and the 24th.
Great.
So Elsa will be visiting. Princess Elsa will be visiting
Who
every...
Who is Princess Elsa?
From Frozen.
Okay.
Oh, I think you're showing your age just
Sorry.
A tad.
Okay, from Frozen. Excellent. Great.
Yes, that's Princess Elsa. So
okay.
She will be there every Friday and Saturday that Santa is not there.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
So she will be there. And I can tell you that she is an absolute hit with the girls.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's
and
wonderful.
She's, just as a side note, she's another board member that donates. Hannah
wow.
donates her time as
wow.
Princess Elsa. She was in the parade this year, if you noticed, in the Azalea Festival.
I was actually in the parade, so I didn't get to see the parade, but I did see the pictures. So.
Yeah, we ventured out. And that video is on our Facebook page if anybody's interested in seeing
it. Is that the first year that you've been in the Azalea Festival?
Yep. I grabbed them kicking and screaming, and I said, hey, it's just two little ATV Arctic cat things. Let's do it.
Good, good.
And now we're talking about a real float this next year.
Oh, that's great. Now, wasn't there something about a raffle?
Okay, raffle. So, we weren't satisfied with just doing the light show.
Well, of course not, because you're all crazy.
Yes, we're all crazy. Yes, I'm sure they say that often about me. One of the shockers that I had last year was finding out that the dirt parking lot existed behind the Capella and the Bandshell. It was a real shocker for me.
You didn't know it was there?
Well, and I just didn't anticipate. You know, I'm from California. Everything's got pavement.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't anticipating that kind of black hole of Calcutta.
Mm-hmm.
When I drove up there to work the first night in the snack shack.
Oh.
And it kind of didn't set well with me. And yeah. I know that Claus, as well as the rest of the board members, had talked about wanting to do something with that lot. And since our mission statement is to support Azalea Park, we really felt it was time to get some pavement back there. Now, when the city went after the grants for the ball fields and the lights, et cetera, that was something that could be done I don't want to say with ease to downgrade what they did, but it was a little bit easier road to hoe. It's hard to pony up the $366,000 that it's going to cost to do that parking lot without some type of help. And
I think there's always grants involved.
Well, yes, but here's the role with the grant.
Okay.
The role with the grant is that you need to have some community buy-in.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important. The community needs to buy in. And I don't necessarily mean they're all in favor, but mm-hmm. buy-in is also a monetary buy-in.
Mm-hmm.
And we felt that the best way to help nest egg or seed the city to go after a grant would be to have this raffle.
Mm-hmm.
So you could show, hey, the community bought raffle tickets
mm-hmm.
for this raffle.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of helps nest egg the city to go after the grant. It also speaks well of a grant foundation that would want to give you the grant because they're like, wow, look at this. This is really a grassroots effort, and that
right.
gets you extra points in that process.
Yes, it does.
Extra points.
Yeah.
So what we have did is we said, let's do this. And so it's the Great Holiday Hoopla Giveaway.
Okay.
And we ended up getting over $8,000 worth of donated prizes. The Visitors Bureau and Harbor got on board and helped us get a deluxe Disneyland vacation for four.
Oh, my goodness.
And that includes early park as well as a character breakfast.
Wow.
And it's the Hopper Pass, so you want to be there for that.
Okay, whatever.
Well, that's an important thing.
Okay.
If you're Disney.
It's been a long time.
If you're Disney, that's important. Is that the Hopper Pass?
Okay, Hopper Pass. Hopper Pass, okay.
The second prize is TV from Fred Meyers. That's a 55-inch ultra-def TV.
Wonderful.
If you have the big guy in your living room, you certainly need one in your bedroom, I understand, from several men who eyeballed that and said, oh, I could watch football on
two
places now.
Yes.
Sure, there's
different
one.
Game on different, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that's exactly what they meant. We have a $300 gift certificate from Barron's. There are
massage.
We have the Pampered Ladies package. We have the Handyman's package where we've taken smaller items and lumped them together. We have a Taste of Brookings, which are gift certificates from various restaurants.
Oh, wow.
So all of that is listed on our website, which is naturescoastalholiday.com,
mm-hmm.
as well as on our Facebook. But I would go to the website to actually see the listing of the
mm-hmm.
prizes.
Mm-hmm.
So when the community says they're ready to pony up over $8,000 worth of prizes, it doesn't take long to figure out this raffle should be pretty successful. So that helped us really spearhead it along once those prices came in. So we're offering the tickets at $5 a piece or
mm-hmm.
5 for 20.
Mm-hmm.
And the drawing will be on December 23rd, right there in front of the
Ooh,
snack shack.
Right before Christmas. What
right
a wonderful Christmas
I know.
Christmas
I
present.
Can't wait to make that phone call.
That is
I
just
am
so
jazzed
excited.
About that phone call.
Yeah.
We're hoping to do a little extra extravaganza that night at
mm-hmm.
the park. So
mm-hmm.
It'll make it really festive. And we are willing, Nature's Coastal Holiday is willing to match. So if we raise $25,000 with that raffle, which is the max,
mm-hmm.
then we are willing to match it with $25,000.
Wow.
Now that means that all of our sponsors in the past need to pony up and get their sponsorships in PDQ.
Right.
Because those are due November 1st.
Okay.
And we had a long list of new sponsors that we mailed out and are contacting too.
Great.
And we also need the general public to show up for the event.
So where would people get the raffle tickets?
Right now, we are selling the raffle tickets at Pacific Coast Alternatives, which is the paralegal establishment on Chetco.
Right by Fern.
Yes, yep. Right. And then at the bookstore.
Down the street?
Yeah, down the street, which is for, I just had a mental lapse.
For something books.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So we're selling them there. Now, they are going to be on sale during the Light Festival as well.
Okay.
So there will be a separate booth area there for people to buy their tickets.
That would also be a nice little, you know, stocking stuffer kind of, well, except that the drawing's before Christmas, so maybe not stocking stuffer, but maybe something.
Well, we're asking our sponsors, in fact, we've actually had a pretty good response, if they want to buy their employees raffle tickets.
Oh, that would be fun.
You know, sometimes that's a good little stocking stuffer in that bonus check.
Yeah, absolutely.
On the 15th of December, we'll have a little raffle ticket in there. So,
yeah, that's a great idea. So when did this raffle get started? This is the first I've heard of it.
Well, we were a little low key.
Okay.
We were low key because we wanted to, we did not want to rain on the dog and cats parade for Rotary.
Okay, that was a good one.
So we didn't want to launch it while they were busy doing what they were doing.
Right.
So we chose to be a little low-key. We were at lots of events in the port, and we sold some tickets there in the port, so that was good. That includes the Oktoberfest, the Pirate Festival. That was interesting, selling Christmas tickets at the Pirates Festival.
Okay, I can't even imagine. Were you dressed in a pirate costume?
No, and in hindsight, that was probably a mistake. I should have showed up that way.
Exactly.
Santa as a pirate could have got it further.
Oh, that's funny.
Yes. And we did the Kite Festival, and we did, port for the Azalea Festival, so
excellent.
We were down there. And we did sell some tickets, so that worked out well for us. And it allowed us to get in to the community. And I think something else happened that was just really interesting. You know, we have a lot of people that come over from the Medford area.
For Christmas or during the summer?
During the summer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they came from Klamath Falls, Northern California. Mm-hmm. So they come over here. Obviously, this year they wanted out of the smoke.
Yeah, exactly.
But they came over here and they're like, what live festival?
Oh.
I didn't know you guys did this. So it was great PR for not only us, but the city of Brookings and all of the businesses around here, because they had no idea. They just thought we curled up and went underneath a rock in the wintertime, I guess.
Yeah, no, because that light festival is something that, you know, if you've never seen that light festival, it's something that would be worth driving 5-6 hours to see, because it's amazing.
And what they're, you know, they're only two and a half hours over 199, and a lot of them are coming here periodically during the summer, and they just never thought about the winter.
Amazing.
And so I think that we did a good job connecting with individuals and getting that word out. So having said that, it prompted us to think about maybe we really need to be advertising over there. So we've started advertising in there, and we have actually a media sponsorship with Channel 10 over there. And then we'll be running commercials for us.
Excellent, excellent.
So we're looking forward to seeing how that works.
Well, I would think that it's going to work really great because, you know, do you really want to be in Medford when it's cold and snowy, or would you like to come to the coast where it's chilly and raining, but we've got these lights?
Well, and it's not always raining there.
No, that's true.
Last year I discovered it would rain during the day, and about 5 or 6 o'clock it stops.
Which is nice. Yeah, yeah.
So I thought that was pretty good.
And you never actually know what's going to happen. There's a saying here that, you know, if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes because it'll change.
Yeah, 5 minutes, 5 miles.
Right? It's amazing because you do suddenly get these beautiful sunny days in the midst of winter, and it's like, oh, there's hope.
Now, one thing that we probably should mention is the hosting.
Oh, please, yes.
So I think that another thing that the general public does not know about is how the hosting works.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't take long to figure out there's there's a ticket booth here and a ticket booth there and another ticket booth. So that's six people.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the people in the snack shack, and we're just a tiny board of 10 to 12 individuals. So.
And you don't really want to be there every single night?
Well, at least one board member is there every night.
That's
a necessity. But we have really had great success with asking community organizations to host the night.
Excellent.
And it's nothing more than taking tickets and manning the snack shack with the cookies and the hot chocolate. And that's worked out real well. Every Rotary, Lions, Shriners have talked about it this year.
Excellent.
So, Ernie, if you haven't called Doreen, you need to call her now. She's waiting for you.
Get on the phone.
Yes, make the phone call, Ernie. So these individuals are real good about coming forward, as well as businesses. Curry Radio does it. Curry Health does it. Sutter does it. There are other businesses that get on board to do it. So
how many do you need to be able to staff all of the positions, or?
Minimum of eight.
Okay.
Maximum of 16.
Okay.
So how it works is that if you want to stay all night, then you only need eight people.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to do a couple of hours and go home and have somebody else come in, then that's 16 people.
And it goes, so the shift is from when to when, basically?
Okay, 4:45 to 7:10, something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
And then the next shift comes in until 9.
Okay.
Yeah.
So basically it's open from 5 until 9.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're open until 5, from 5 until 9.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
And at 9 o'clock, no offense to all of those individuals that show up at 5 minutes to 9 and want to just run through it.
Oh, my.
Yeah. We'd like to go home. Wait, is that Santa I hear now?
Yeah, on the...
Santa and the elves?
Yes, on the rooftop, probably.
Yes, yes. Well, the elves are busy.
Yeah, they're building things.
They're busy.
Well, it sounds like a whole lot of fun.
It is. And I would encourage anybody who wants to volunteer in a larger capacity to show up, make yourself known in November. There are all sorts of things that can happen, including we're looking for musicians and singers.
Oh.
Sometimes it's hard to talk. Well, actually, it's very difficult to talk. Not sometimes. It's just difficult to talk people into coming out and playing a musical instrument or singing for an hour or so in the cold.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, nothing really works very well. If you're playing an instrument with your fingers start to freeze up and, you know, they don't move as well as they...
And that's
like
why the,
them to.
And that's why the music exists.
Mm-hmm.
That's why there's continual music during the festival is piped in through the entire park.
Yeah.
Because
nice.
It is cold. And we get that.
And carolers. Do you often have carolers there?
Well, we've had that off and on.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, Mr. Goody and his little band showed up briefly there at Nature's Coastal Holiday one night. And if you're listening, we could use you again or four nights. Hello.
All of you out in listening land.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, and we understand that it's cold, but anybody that we can get to come in on a Friday and Saturday night, we would certainly appreciate it. We do have a nice tent for you this year.
Oh, nice.
So at least it'll be covered if it is sprinkling, but can't promise you a big heater, though.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of cold, I should say last year we launched a snow machine.
Really?
Yeah, and it was small.
Where was that?
It didn't go on all the time because we were testing things.
Okay.
And it was a pretty big hit when it was on.
Okay.
We've discovered it takes more snow juice than one would anticipate.
Okay, snow juice?
Yes.
I'm thinking snow juice is water.
Well,
no.
Yeah, sort of.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Kind of got a little sudsy to it.
So that it's white.
Yeah. So okay. This year, it's just not a little snow machine. It's the blizzard machine.
Oh, Okay.
And it's going to be down there by the Snack Shack area.
Oh, wow.
And we're hoping that it will run probably from about 6 to 8.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
So is it actually snow?
No, it's made with a solution of basically dish soap.
Okay.
So there'll be, it's clean snow.
Okay.
There will be no yellow snow.
There we go. I like that. But it won't like stick on the ground, or it won't accumulate on the ground.
No, it's not going to pile. There'll be some sticking, but no, it
okay.
Dissipates. Is that right?
Dissipates. Yes.
Thank you.
There you go.
Fairly quickly.
Okay. All right. Because I was concerned.
But it makes
about
great pictures.
Drifts of like 5 feet of snow bubbles.
No. It's not like when they do the fountain up here. Really, children, do you need to put soap in the fountain up there? Get a job after school.
They do. It's a tradition.
It is. They need to get a job after school.
Well, they may actually already have a job after school.
Then they need two jobs.
Or maybe do their homework. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, something. Because the birds and the other animals are relying on that, and you have just polluted their water source. Excuse me, let me come into your house and do that for you.
Yeah, that's probably not a happy thing.
Oh, wait, that was a tangent.
So, Leslie, also there's this thing about being able to buy blocks of tickets.
Yes, you can buy blocks of admission tickets, great stocking stuffers, great thank yous for your clients, your employees, or your friends. That is one way to do it. And we're also offering the raffle tickets the same way. You can buy blocks of raffle tickets.
And how much is admission?
Admission is way lower than any place else. It's $2 for adults, and it's free for children 12 and under.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. And it's a steal. Mm-hmm. And the chocolate, hot chocolate, and the hot cider and the cookies are donation based.
That's nice.
I guarantee that you'll be spending more money going to the local In-N-Out hamburger joint.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And this is so much more fun.
Yeah.
It really, yeah. I mean, my grandson makes a beeline for the Snack Shack because, of course, he wants to get his chocolate and his cookie, right? Those are very important. But, you know, we're there for oftentimes 2-3 hours just walking around looking at everything. And
there's a chance to see people that you haven't seen for a while.
Yes.
I watched two individuals that went to high school together. Now, how in the world these people don't see each other enough? But they had been out of high school for about 15 years, and they met in front of the Snack Shack.
How odd.
I guess one lives and works in Gold Beach and the mm-hmm. other one's here in Brookings and they just hadn't seen each other.
Right.
And it was a great little reunion.
Yeah,
so.
It's absolutely delightful.
Yeah.
So if you've got, I'm trying to think of the staffing. So you've got three different entrances times two people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's six. And then how many?
Snack Shack minimum of two.
Okay. Although I would think that maybe sometimes you'd want a few more than
yeah, and that's fine. And then what we're doing too this year, which is a little bit different for the hosting groups, is that if your organization wants to get the word out, I know the Pelican Bay Amateur Radio, they need to get the word out. They were talking about building or getting money together to take care of a trailer.
Oh,
so they could have a mobile emergency response trailer. Now, it sounds kind of silly because you think your local government should be in charge of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But what we don't realize here is that we are a frontier, according to FEMA. And when the cell tower goes out, we're all in trouble. The only thing you can rely on is amateur radio.
Wow.
And so it's really important to support those guys. And I think they're talking about being out there and handing out information about their organization so people could get involved with that.
So literally we have the designation as being frontier?
Yes, that's the FEMA definition for Brookings, this area.
Okay,
I've been here since for a year and a half and I know this. Wait.
I don't know what to say. I mean, I haven't heard that word in like, you know, a long time. I mean, the West used to be the frontier, but I just don't, you know.
Well, it has to do with, I don't know. All I know, maybe it's the reason why the state of Jefferson needs to exist. I don't know. But when I heard that, I was pretty shocked as well. Except I have been in a disaster, and I will tell you that you really need to be pretty self-sufficient. So that preparedness kit mm-hmm. may sound like a big laugh, mm-hmm. but I've been there, done that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not a laugh.
Yeah. No, I can't imagine. And it, you know, I have a friend who lives back east, and he's now been affected by two hurricanes, you know, back to back kind of thing.
And shouldn't that be the frontier?
I'm thinking so. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
It could be the new frontier.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, that organization, they're having an opportunity to come in and hand out information about their organization. We're asking that organizations do not sell or ask for donations or solicit.
Right.
Just because, you know, there'd be competition for us.
But right. And that would be confusing for people, you know. I mean, they should be very clear about what their money is going towards, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And if they want to host a night, there were letters that went out. If you haven't answered your letter, you need to do that.
Hello.
If they do want to host, they can get in touch with us through Facebook, or there is an email link right at our website.
Great.
And they can click there and get a hold of us, and we can get the word out to the person that's Dorleen, who is in charge of the hosting thing.
And you've got an amazingly beautiful website. I mean, that's got to be new, right? Oh, really? You?
Yeah.
I love it.
me and GoDaddy.
I love it. I mean, it really is just beautiful.
Well, thank you. And you know, I'm glad that you've said that for two reasons. One, I could always use a compliment.
There we go.
But more importantly, I think that nonprofits feel that a website is very hard to do. And places like GoDaddy, it's a plug and play. You do not have to be a computer whiz to do that. And that website is an example of that. And I would encourage any nonprofit that's desperate for a website to just take a spin on GoDaddy. That's how we did it.
Mm-hmm.
But you notice, too, on the website, we have a brand new logo that we introduced this last year.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
We actually asked for some Facebook input from
mm-hmm.
our followers,
mm-hmm.
And they all got to chime in, and that logo, that brand, is a prime example, and I think it really catches the flavor of Brookings with the wave, and then our little Christmas tree that's all lit up.
I like the kind of the juxtaposition of the wave and the Christmas tree. It does. It just tells what we're about.
And it's a good, yes, it is, and it's a good look, and it's a good brand, and we're happy with that. That's one of those things, as a group evolves, those are possibilities that can really put you out there. There's advertising now about us in 101, Things to Do, which is a big publication, as well as Mile by Mile.
Great. Excellent.
We get the word out. The more we get the word out about ourselves, the better it is for Brookings proper.
No, I mean, absolutely.
You know, for the businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the more amazing the Festival of Lights is, the more people want to see it.
And the more we can do, because without the attendance, we cannot build, you know, the $8,000 Christmas tree.
Yes.
Because it's not cheap, and we can't let Claus go out and buy new lights, and we can't add to it.
And that would disappoint him so much if he couldn't.
It would.
Yes.
It's not good to tell him no.
No.
He gets pouty.
Now, didn't you also refurbish some Christmas bells or something?
Yes. The old bells that used to hang downtown way before my time had gone to disarray. And the way I understand it, it was the city had them back somewhere. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with them. And Claus and Dorleen brought those out, and those were refurbished. And the individual businesses that you see displaying those each year are sponsors for that, and that helps get those bells out, including the Happy Holiday signs.
So that must have taken a lot of work to refurbish them, I'm thinking.
Yes, and it's before my time. So
you
I
didn't
can't...
actually have to put the sweat labor in?
No, I have a pretty good gig here. I'm...
I'm the idea girl.
Oh, that's a wonderful job to have.
Yeah, I'm the idea girl, the namer of the raffle, the marketer, that. The brander, all the ads that you see, the paper ads, that comes
that's
out
great.
Of me. So,
and realistically, you know, it does take a village. It just does, you know, and everybody's got different strengths, and it's just nice to be able to use somebody's strength. Because other people don't have that strength. So.
Well, I know. It was excellent. I came up with the big 18-foot-long fishing boat.
Oh, I love
and
that.
And I'm not having to string the lights
oh,
on it.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I'm just the idea girl.
I love it. I love it. I love it. So do you need more people on the board?
Well, I think we always can use some talented people on the board, but they are individuals that are going to have to be willing to donate some time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that people think that being on a board is just being on a board, and that's not it. We
no.
need everybody on the board has to be functional,
yep.
and that's important.
Yep.
And the way you find out whether you're a good mesh and a good fit mm-hmm. is that you get out and you participate in some of the things that we do. You make yourself known. You get involved in hosting a night and let us know. Because I guess, you know, there's kind of an interview process.
Yeah, well, it there certainly should be because, you know, you want to make sure it's a good fit.
And it's important. This is not a board that's, how can I say, low key. I mean, this is mm-hmm. We're spearheading the community to have their light show.
Yes, exactly.
So we're...
And it's a 12-month-a-year commitment.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean,
basically.
That's just reality.
Yeah,
so.
Basically.
So we're just about out of time. It's amazing how fast an hour goes. Do you have any last thoughts? Do you have some contact information, the way people can get in touch if they want to volunteer, whatever?
The email that springs off of the website or Facebook are the two things right now. There is a phone number on the website that you can call, but I really encourage the email. It's the best way to get a hold of us, especially because right now we're not all at the phone.
Right. Yes.
You know, we're not always at the phone.
Yeah.
So, and we have a pretty good, there's a pretty good quick response time through Facebook or email.
Great. So the big push is to get volunteers out there that first Saturday in November.
November 3rd at 9 a.m. Kidstown parking lot. That's
okay.
The big push. And you'd be surprised how much fun you will have.
Oh, I don't think it would be a surprise. I think everybody knows that it's just fun. It's just decorating is just fun.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, and when you do something as a community, you get to see people you haven't seen in a while, and it's just a delightful thing.
And if you're new to the community, it's another good way to get out there.
Absolutely.
It's another good way to get out there, and there's nothing better than getting into the Christmas spirit than stringing some lights.
That's absolutely true. Leslie, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And it's great information. So all of you guys out there that are listening to this, remember, it takes a village. So get out there and help string some lights. So if you want to share this interview with out-of-town friends, it's available as a podcast on our website, kciw.org, under the program series Our Community. And while you're there, consider becoming a member. A $25 annual membership helps KCIW stay on the air with relevant local programs like these. Or consider becoming a volunteer. We need your skills and energy. Thank you very much, Nature's Coastal Holiday Leslie Wilkinson. And thank you for listening. This is Our Community, and I'm Candace Michelle.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program.